One individual said, and I don't know why I say this, that one individual said for a speaker, and it kind of averages out, that it takes an hour for every 5 minutes, at least. And I was looking at that, and that's on the short end, so of preparation. So it just doesn't fall out of the sky. I've got to find it somewhere. And it, generally when it's lost in there, it's a hard thing, you know. Like I said, I never lost my marbles, just somebody shook up the box. So, all right, I'm done with the jokes. All right, so here we are, Easter week. Imagine that. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, and of course I usually read the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but it was already taken care of. That I didn't plan on reading that. So it's bits and pieces, but we had that taken care of. So we have Jesus riding a donkey, and the people with taking their palm branches and laying them on the road in front of the donkey and crying Hosanna. Now, if you can imagine, I mean, just to go in this perspective, you have these fishermen, not all fishermen, but you have these guys who are basically rural people, and you know, out in Sea of Galilee, out in the Galilee area, and they are with Jesus, and there are thousands of people crammed into Jerusalem, and they're crying Hosanna and putting their palm branches on the ground, laying their coats on the ground, and these guys are walking with Jesus. Whoa, we are important now. We have arrived, you know. So they would have had this sense of pride, and you know, this is what we've been waiting for. And we find out that in a week it all changes. But so we see the ups and downs of what was going on with the disciples, and also what their perspectives, from their perspective, they had only what they were thinking and what Jesus was telling them, but they couldn't interpret what Jesus was saying. I'm come here to die, okay? I've come here to die, okay. All right, but isn't this great? It's like, no, we don't have that. So what I've done in the last few weeks is to see how the Old Testament is speaking about events that we read in the New Testament. So, and of course, the Old Testament is prophetic, and its declaration of Jesus and his birth, his life, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, all these things are part of what God had inspired the prophets of old to declare that the Messiah would do these things. And so the Old Testament prophet declared his birth, his triumphal entry, this all happened centuries before Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And the important thing about all of that, the important thing about being foretold, is Jesus and his disciples weren't sitting around one morning and said, you know what? Hey, Jesus, you think you ought to ride into town on a donkey? You know, it wasn't that way because it was foretold. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't like, the critics say he was failing and, you know, people weren't following him and he had to do something. And so he tried to salvage his ministry by riding into Jerusalem and they end up killing him. It was foretold what he was doing, and Jesus came and fulfilled those things. It wasn't a last-ditch effort. It wasn't something that was a spare of the moment. It was foretold by Zechariah, the prophet, that in Zechariah 9:9, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Zechariah, in 480 B.C., and 33 years on top of that with Jesus, about 513 years before the event, Zechariah foretells this. Now, I'm trying to put that in perspective. If George Washington said something 250 years ago, it would still be 250 more years before it happens. That's what happened with Zechariah. and the coming of Jesus. So the people of Israel, the Hebrews, they had a long tradition of relationship with God. They had a long, the prophets and then God speaking to them and you know, helping them along and guiding them as a nation, but they had some problems. They didn't stay true to God. They had a tendency to wander away. So the Jews in Jerusalem who had returned from Babylon, they were to rebuild the temple. So that's the people that Zechariah is speaking to. So we know the Babylonian captivity, Daniel and all that gets taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, and Daniel's in the court. Then we have the Medes and the Persians conquering Babylon, and Cyrus the Mede tells the Jewish people they can go home and rebuild the temple. And so 20% of the people there went back to Jerusalem, and Zechariah is writing to the people who are in Jerusalem, you know, encouraging them that to rebuild the temple, to keep their faith, and that the Messiah is going to come. So we don't know when he's coming, but he is going to come. So for us, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, if we were waiting for the Messiah to come, which we have been, waiting for Jesus to return, the trump of God shall sound, dead in Christ shall rise, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. 2,000 years ago, that was a promise. And it isn't fulfilled yet, but it's coming. So we find the donkey symbolizing peace, humility, and righteousness. And it's very specific that he's going to ride the donkey, the foal of a donkey. So this is the young donkey, the offspring of the mother, and probably it is a donkey that no one has ever rode. Now, I don't think any of us want to try to ride a donkey that no one's ever rode. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and you know, the animal just obeys and rides triumphantly into Jerusalem. So the message from Zechariah the prophet is not coming as the Messiah is not coming as a political conqueror. He is not here to drive out the Romans. He is not a king like David. See, this was the whole idea of a Messiah, that they've been harassed, they've been conquered, their city has been, I don't know how many times the city of Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed and rebuilt, but it's one of the oldest cities on the planet, and so it's a center of the universe for as the Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and so it's the epicenter of all these religions, and especially the Mount where the Golden Dome is. So in Psalm 118. It says, that now this is the psalmist bringing this declaration out about the coming Messiah. And one of the verses I thought was very important in this group, verse 24. This is the day the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So the understanding is, this is the day God has made, that God is with us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let us look to what God is doing in our life. And then, verse 25, Lord, save us, or Hosanna. Hosanna means save us now, all right? So whenever the followers of Jesus are putting their palm branches and their cloaks on the ground, they're hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, to Jesus. And what they're saying to Jesus is, save us now from the Romans. Save us now. So these thousands of people are crying Hosanna. So the Romans are frightened. There's an uprising. The Hebrew priests and Levites and Sadducees, they're all upset because they think Jesus is going to save the city and he's going to be the new leader, and they won't have the power. They will lose face. So there's a lot of things going on in this riding into Jerusalem. And what is for the priests and the Pharisees, what is their solution to all this? we got to kill him. We've got to take his life. And also Lazarus, because too many people were following both of them. We've got to get rid of him. So that was the declaration of people going into Jerusalem. And they're saying, Hosanna, so it means save us now. Get us out from underneath us. So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they've been waiting almost 500 years to say this. And they're having a moment in time in which Jesus is riding into town. So that's why the people were crying, Hosanna. They were crying because they thought that Jesus, the Messiah, will drive the Romans out of town. And so when the people were placing the palm branches, laying their cloaks on the road, they're crying, Hosanna. They are wanting to be saved now. And we were under Roman tyranny. It was not a pleasant place to be. So if Jesus is their triumphal Messiah, he is the one in the coming week who will fulfill their declaration of hope. So whenever we think about the people who were crying Hosanna on the way into town, some of them were part of the group that later, the following Friday, would say, crucify him. How could they change so quickly? Well, they were expecting something from Jesus. Now, I'm not saying all of those who cried Hosanna, because we know that priests and so on did their trial at night, and they only got certain people to come and be part of that trial and the false accusers. And when they brought Jesus before Pilate, it was a rigged audience. And so, but some of them were there last week, and they were saying to crucify him because he didn't save us now. He didn't come and do what he said he would do. So in our life, we have some of those same situations that we pray for things. We pray for God to answer our prayers. And, you know, in the Sunday school lesson, it says, ask, seek, knock, you know, and the door will be opened unto you. And then the next verse, if your earthly father knows how to give you good gifts, well, you know, if he asks for bread, you'll give him a stone. If you ask for fish, would he give you a serpent? And of course not. And he says, how much more will your heavenly father do for you? So if the earthly father knows how to do this, think about your heavenly father, how much greater that will be. So going back to the ask, seek, knock, it's important that we ask God in prayer. And in Israel, the Hebrews at this time, they wanted rid of the Romans. So Jesus didn't do that, so let's crucify him. So as we move into the New Testament, we find where the king is revealed. So we had some of the Old Testament declarations about the Messiah coming into Jerusalem, and there are others, but I just, a lack of speaking for an hour, I thought I would leave those out. Amen. Thank you very much. let's see. Whatever we go. Oh, this, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have reference to this. It's one of those events. It's the event that is one of the most significant events in the life of Christ. And it is recorded in all four Gospels. His 3 years of ministry, all of the things that he did are very important, but they're not all recorded. We don't have a running record of 3 years of what Jesus did, what he taught. I mean, if they did that, it would be many volumes for what we would consider the Gospels. But we find that they were all recorded this one event of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, because it is a significant event. It is one of those that point to the idea that Jesus is declaring, I am the Messiah. if you remember, whenever he does the miracles and things, he prays for people. He says, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Well, why would he want that? Because he didn't want people to crowds of people to come and take him and try to make him the Messiah before his time. Make him a king before the time that was in place. Because the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, it was on a timetable. He was for 3 years, but he had to be in the triumphal entry the week before, and then for him to be arrested and scourged and hung on the cross, all during the time of Passover when lambs were being sacrificed. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, would be sacrificed for the sin of the world. And so all of this had to take place at a specific time and in a specific way. So Jesus knew what that was all about. And he knew what it was like, so much so that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, if there's another way. He knew the torture and the pain and the suffering of that would come upon him. And he said, Father, if there's another way, but not my will, but thine be done. So when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he lets them declare that he is the Messiah. It's open now. Everybody can know that I am the Messiah and that he is there. Lord, save us now. So the life of Jesus was on a timeline. His ministry began when John the Baptist baptized him, and he came out of the city, out of the water, and the dove came upon him, and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit ascended, and John says, wow, this is the Lamb of God. So Jesus' life was on a timeline, and Passover was the celebration for why Jesus came. No more would the blood of animals be used to cover sin, that the blood of Christ would wash away sin. So for Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this was a very important occasion, riding into Jerusalem, setting things up for the following week. He orchestrates the moment. He sends for the donkey. This is what I mentioned this earlier. Luke 19, verse 30 and 31. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. So again, the foreknowledge of Jesus, he knows exactly where the donkey is. He knows exactly if there's a person guarding it, tell the disciple, because the popularity of Jesus was such that all they had to do was tell them that Jesus needed it, and the individual would say, yeah, go right ahead, take the donkey. So all of this is just the foreknowledge of Jesus riding the donkey, where the donkey is. It's letting us know this is exactly the way that it was to happen, just as it would on Friday. So Jesus was coming to bring a different kind of kingdom, a different kind of peace. They wanted the Romans out. They wanted a king like David, you know, battles and drive out the enemy. But Jesus had come. He had come to restore peace, the peace of God, for their own hearts and lives. They assumed that God would send a leader. They had gone through the Maccabean revolt. They had gone against the Greeks and the Grecian Empire, the Maccabeans, and this was about 141 BC, and they had revolted against them. They had led a rebellion, and they had defeated the Grecian Empire. And so they were kind of in their history, they were going back to Joshua and the conquest of Cana. And now the Maccabees had driven out, conquered the Grecian Empire. And so they're all in this, and then the Romans come. And the Romans come about 60 B.C., and they just conquer everything, and there's these people trying to get rid of the Romans. God will do it. And they were in rebellion against God, and they did not listen to the prophets of God. So, Hosanna, save us now, was a very important cry, and one that the people would have believed, because God did save them from the Grecians. God, in their past, had saved them from the Assyrians when 185,000 people died, soldiers died overnight. The angel of the Lord came and struck them, and then he went back to Nineveh. So there is this tension then that is unfolding through this coming week. The temple priests did not want Jesus to save them. The Pharisees did not want to allow Jesus, who is, you know, his teachings of the law and of the scriptures. He didn't go to them to get permission. So there was this tension and there was this problem going on, and they felt that they were at the right moment to take Jesus and crucify him. So the disciples, like the crowd, they had their own ideas. John 12:16. At first, the disciples did not understand all of this. So they didn't understand what was going on. Jesus entering Jerusalem, wow. Hey, can we sit on your right hand? We sit on your left, you know, when you come into your kingdom? Well, it was only after the resurrection that they began to understand what Jesus was doing, and that the teachings of Christ and, you know, what he wanted them to do. It was after the resurrection, after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that this, the belief and the understanding of Jesus, the Savior of the world, was really with them, and they had the anointing of the Spirit in their life. Did you ever think, no, we have time to think. When you get to heaven, are you going to look back over your life and wonder why that happened? Well, we're going to know the answer, but now we wonder, well, okay, why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why did it happen this way? Well, I have to believe that God he's in control of all things. He does all things well. And we don't understand why things happen, the decisions we make, with the decisions other people make, and how that they affect our lives, and could have it turned out differently? Could we gone in a different direction? Yeah. But the challenge for us is to allow our faith to walk with us through every situation, when everything is great and looking good, and a week later everything falls apart, and Jesus is He has died and he's in the tomb, and our life is just totally messed up, and it's, you know, what does all of this mean? Keep the faith, keep moving on. Trust in the Lord in our hard times. So what was Christ revealing as he rode that donkey into Jerusalem? We see Jesus as a king who comes in humility. He was fulfilling prophecy. He was not on a war horse surrounded by soldiers. He was on a donkey surrounded by disciples. And this is the biggest thing they'd ever seen in their life. His kingdom, God's kingdom, is not built on force. God won't make us do anything. He will lead us. You see, God leads us into heaven. The devil drives people into hell. Addictions and, you know, things that will destroy their life, that becomes the wind in their back to put, you know, they find their way there almost naturally because they reject the things of God. But for the Christian, that it is God leads us each step of the way. He leads us into heaven. He guides us, and we make decisions to walk with him, and that he will walk with us. So his kingdom is not built by force. He who spoke the world into existence now rides on a donkey and is choosing humility and peace. In the week ahead, he will be beaten and crucified and jeered and mocked, and he submits to it. He didn't need to do, he needed to do that for us to be saved, but he chose to allow that to happen to him. Because if he decided to end it all and start again, it was only a word away. So the road that Jesus traveled to Jerusalem is the road to the cross. Jesus made this journey intentionally. It was not a detour. This was his destination. It was his time. So Palm Sunday, every step is toward the cross. Every step is toward Calvary. Every action has a divine purpose, a divine revelation. Every story that Jesus tells, every illustration that he gives to his disciples in this week is some of the most important teachings that Jesus has. It's like if you knew you were going to not be here in a day or 2 days, what would you want people to remember? What is it you would want them to remember of you? What story, what event would you want them to say or to think of? Well, Jesus is doing that in this week between the triumphal entry and Calvary. He is educating, he is teaching his disciples. So every story, teaching, and miracle is part of the most important list of things that his disciples could know. Jesus is not caught by surprise. The crowd, with its declaration of Hosanna, was partially correct. They did see the king, but he was not the King David that they were looking for. You see, will we follow Christ? You see, your faith is valuable. It is the most important thing in your life. We sometimes get it pushed aside with events and problems and difficulties, but your faith is the most important part of your life. Without it, we build our life on sand. But with it, he is the rock. And even though winds and storms come, we're still secure upon our faith. You know, I was thinking of a person we know, they suffered a life-ending heart attack. And the family prayed and also prepared because the individual had numerous heart attacks and they had a defibrillator in the home. And so the person had a heart attack and they used the defibrillator on him twice before the ambulance got there. And the doctor said that if they had not done this, he would have died. Because less than 5% of people who have this severe heart problem would die. And because they did this, he lived. And in our life, there are times that we need to pray and be prepared. You know, there are times when we need to prepare ourselves. And what are we going to do when temptation comes? What are we going to do when hardship comes? Preparing our heart that we are going to be faithful to God no matter what happens. You see, this is the importance of our faith. So whether we live or die, we belong to God. So now let's get busy living. You know, let us be busy with life. In Luke 19, verse 41, Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem. He weeps over Jerusalem because they did not recognize the time of God's visitation. And I think also in our life, God is always with us. He's always with us. But there are special times in which we find him closer. He is near to us. And Jesus wants us to realize that he is always there. just sometimes we are more aware of his presence than others. And so he weeps over Jerusalem because they weren't ready to receive him. After all these promises, after all these prophets, after all, you know, these wars and trials and tribulations they come through, and the Messiah arrives and the people say, no thanks. The Bible says that these individuals are going to look upon the one that they pierced. Wow. So this Palm Sunday, the question is, will you follow a king who rides a donkey? One who comes in humility and peace? Can we lay our life before him, surrendering our will to his? Can we let go of our pride? Can we trust him in every situation? Can we believe that all things are possible? Can we believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose? See, he is Lord of life. He is Lord of all. So for us, we are part of the crowd that day on the road to Jerusalem. And we are believing that the Messiah, Jesus, is returning. And so we're beginning this week of preparation for Good Friday. I was wondering why we call it Good Friday, not Black Friday. Because Good Friday means that what appears to be bad is going to be good. What happens in this negative seemingly part is really going to turn around to the best. So a few of the people who were there on Friday, a few of them are at the cross on Good Friday. Few of them that were in the crowd with Jesus coming into Jerusalem crying Hosanna are at the cross, and they are there watching him die. And for those at the cross, they had the same doubts as those who didn't show up. Didn't understand. We thought he would be the Messiah, but they were still there. And that's the faith that we have, that we are with Jesus, whether he's riding triumphantly into Jerusalem or whether our life is hanging on a cross. We, you know, the worst things of life have happened. We are there knowing that God is with us. That is the faith. Questions? They had the same questions the people who didn't show up had. But they knew that they loved him and he loved them. That's our Palm Sunday. Shall we pray? And is there a need? I want to close in prayer and want to remember Cliff in prayer. Is there other needs? Anyone? Nikki, yes? Family member who's broken their ankle. Anyone else? So, Father, we are grateful that, Lord, we can be there at the cross with you, knowing that you love us, that we love you, and all of our expectations are different than what is before us. But, Lord, you are still Lord of life and Lord of all. You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, you do all things well. And you are with us now in these moments. We pray for you to be with Cliff. We pray for you to be with Nikki. We pray you be with this family member who has broken an ankle. Lord, for the other requests that we speak in your name, we speak them to you knowing that you hear us, knowing that, Lord, that you are here with us and that you are there with them. Let your peace be upon us, we pray. Let us recognize how much you love us because you did this all for. You did this entire life of yours and this triumphal entry and, and this coming week and the cross, you did that all for us. And Lord, we are grateful. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.